It's always a wonderful opportunity to be gathered together to worship our God together. And as you think of the aspects that we know of in terms of from the heart, the worship to be offered to God to be acceptable, we come to this part of our worship service to really be attuned to listen to God. Let His Word really overflow our hearts and our souls, and to consider ourselves and what we're doing in our day-to-day lives, and how to best apply this love for the Lord. If you would, open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to start there in a moment, page 671 in the Pew Bible. If you think about what's written in the book of Ecclesiastes, literally meaning about the preacher and about the idea of the gathering of God's people, specifically, I want us to point to these verses that are in chapter 3 as we start. And I want you to listen to these verses and read along at the same time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at verse 1. It says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones together. This is a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Solomon's whole point through these first 9 verses is, do you know the time? He brings out all these different parallels of couplets of opposites and different aspects, and to go, wisdom is what knows the time. Wisdom knows whether it's a time to heal or a time to kill. Wisdom knows whether it's a time to gather up stones together or a time to cast stones. Jesus even said in Luke chapter 11, he says, you may look up to the wisdom of Solomon and how vast his wisdom was that God gave, but something greater than Solomon is here now. And that's specifically about Jesus. No matter how you look at the situations that come in life and all the ebbs and flows that come with it, of going, are we aware enough to know, to have wisdom, to be able to tell the difference? There's a lot of times where we kind of are unknowing. There are some times where we wonder if we will ever know. There are other things we know very specific. I mean, we could take probably the next 30 minutes and go through these 9 or 10 verses and talk about plenty of examples of all these different times that we've had in life, all the different experiences that we've gone through. We've known times where we mourn. I can only imagine in the New Testament times what it was like whenever the 11 apostles found out that Judas committed suicide. And to know that eternal life was right in front of Judas, and he wouldn't take it. Maybe over in Acts, whenever it talks about the stories of Ananias and Sapphira, to do what seemed on the outside like something that is very giving, to give a gift, yet to give it with deception, and for God to give them an opportunity when Peter speaks to them, a chance to turn their heart, and yet both of them to be struck down dead moments later because of the motive of their giving, to be deceptive. There was a great fear that came across all of God's people. And you think about the times of going, I knew them. But a time to grieve, knowing that this had come because of spiritual death and now to be brought before all of God's people to know. You think through these other opportunities that are here. It says a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Think about times to dance. I don't know if we think about that very often. The sweet times of dancing together with your own wife in the privacy of your own home on your anniversary. Of sharing an evening or a day together to laugh about how God has carried you through so many difficulties of the past. Just the time to dance. Maybe even after your first chemo treatment to be able to come home and to dance because you still feel good. Do we have the wisdom to know the difference of all these different aspects of things that are here in place? And then notice as it continues on, look at verse 9. It says, what profit is there to the rider, to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. And you can look back through those first 8 verses and you can find all these different situations that happen. And he says, I know what this is. Solomon's not a young man anymore. And he says, I see how life passes. It goes by. Decades turn into a life. And it concludes. Then, notice verse 10, he says, I have seen the task which God has given. He says, I see it right in front of me. I see those who are my servants. I see my wife. I see all these situations playing out. And then comes verse 11. He says, he has made everything appropriate or beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Solomon says, I can tell from my vantage point of the wisdom that God has given me that he has set eternity in everyone's heart. Some people don't want to think about eternity because it scares them, because they've looked at their lives and they fear what's coming. Some people look at eternity with a cheerful heart of knowing the promises of God of what he's given. He says, but eternity has been set in the heart for a reason. And if you notice what Solomon brings about here, it's kind of a unique thing that only Solomon would know by the wisdom that God gave him. He says, God has set eternity in our hearts so that we would not discover all that he has been doing all along, but to understand and try to grasp eternity. Typically, we can only grasp however many years we've lived. It's a hard time to tell a 16-year-old about what it's like to be 95. It's a hard thing to grasp. And yet here's God, the eternal God, saying, you need to consider eternity. I know you don't grasp it, but you need to be thinking eternal. You need to look at all these events that take place in your life and think in light of eternity, not in light of the moment. So often we get caught up in such small things. We go, what house do I want to buy? As opposed to thinking about what kind of husband or wife do I want to be inside of these walls? What kind of car do I want to drive? Rather than thinking about how am I going to use this vehicle in God's service? We think about laying aside perhaps even for retirement and yet not thinking about what am I looking at things beyond this life in terms of eternity? We have to start thinking eternal. Now, I want you to turn over to the New Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Page 1157. page 1157. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to notice kind of this progression of where Paul is going to go. He's going to show us this is where we have to be looking through the life of Christ. Notice verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now think about this. He doesn't say in terms of looking at Christ. He says to realize that Christ is aware of what's going on. That we would do this to his glory in the face of Christ. So oftentimes whenever young people are growing up, people will say, well, you wouldn't do that if your mom and dad were here. Oh, and they're right. They'd be too scared to do it. But the idea is to realize, do we understand that in looking at things eternally, that what's going on in our everyday lives is right in front of God. Nothing is hidden, nothing out of sight from him. And to go, he sees us every moment. But specifically, the point here is about God said, light shall shine out of darkness. And in the darkest moment of humanity, even underneath from 12 to 3 o'clock, Jesus is crucified in the darkness. And yet the brightest light shines in the midst of the darkest darkness. And here's Jesus. He says, do you consider whenever you walk among darkness, that God is looking for a light that is shining in the face of Jesus. Even in the midst of all these perplexing moments that we get. Verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. If you can imagine having the most powerful thing, the most powerful life of Christ, yet here we are in these earthen vessels, having all this great power, yet hidden in something that's so fragile. And when he's talking about earthen vessels, some translations even say in these clay jars. You think about how fragile clay jars are. Don't try and drop one from even 4 feet off the ground and see what happens. Just, we understand fragility. We understand health and the lack thereof. He says, here's this great power of the life of Christ and living in the face of Christ. He says, but do you understand this great power of the message of Christ is hidden inside of these fragile bodies to show the light of Christ every day? Then he notices, he takes part, and look at these next few verses. He says, so that we realize it's not from us, this is from Christ. Verse 8, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Does Paul understand what it's like to go through difficulties? He says, if you're expecting God to remove every difficulty from your life, then you are clueless. Health concerns are going to come. Situations that you deal with your neighbors are going to be trying. Marriage can be very difficult. The way you interact with other people at work can be very, very hard. But will you remember things in light of eternity? If you notice these two verses, he says, we are afflicted. We go through a lot of persecutions in every way. He says, but we're not crushed. He says, God takes us through these bending moments, but we don't have to break because of his power working within us. No matter what the situation, here's Paul who suffered greatly for the sake of the truth. He says, we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Jesus, on the other hand, in Isaiah 53, was crushed. And he was crushed for us. He says, perplexed, but not despairing. You ever have questions you can't answer? You ever get perplexed about things? You go, I wish I knew the answer to that, but I don't know. And it's very trying. I really wish I knew. Paul says, I understand that. I've been perplexed too, but it doesn't lead me to despair to want to give up. He says, Jesus went through very troubling times. Trouble to the point of his soul is the way he talks about it. He says, persecuted but not forsaken. He says, have you ever suffered for doing the right thing? You ever made the right choice but been made to feel like you were the villain? He says, do you understand in those moments to go, am I going to think about this in light of eternity? Of going, how am I going to respond in this? Will I be patient? Will I be willing to be kind even to people who are evil? He says, can I keep eternity in view of how I live my life? The medical setbacks of going, I know this body wasn't made to last forever, but I didn't think it would wear out this fast. Have I set my mind on eternity? He says, struck down but not destroyed. Sometimes you come to things that you think are opportunities and they hit you in the face. And you go, but I'm not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. Verse 10, how does that happen? How do you get to those great gut-wrenching moments in life and still keep enduring by the power of God? Here's the answer. Verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. He says, we look at the death of Jesus and we go, look at the difficulty he went through so that he could get to the resurrection. So that he could get to the ascension to the right hand of God. To be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to be the high priest to serve in the eternal tabernacle in the heavens. Do you see the difficulties he entailed? Do we remember the dying of Jesus so that we can in turn have the hope of the resurrection of Jesus? Because if in the midst of the difficulties, all you look at is the moment, you will give up. But if we'll think eternally, and think about the promises that God's given, it will change your life in the moment, and it will change things even eternally. Skip down a little bit further. Look at verse 14. He says, knowing that he was raised, that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. If you ever wonder what motivated Paul to go around from town to town, to get to some cities, to be dragged outside, people gathered stones together to cast them and throw them at him. And they thought they had killed him. And the disciples gathered around him, and he got back up, and he goes into the next town and preaches there too. How many of us would want to rethink and go, maybe I'm not doing what's the best in my life if I'm being rejected like this? Paul was thinking in terms of eternity. He says, I've been afflicted. I've been perplexed. I've been persecuted. I thought about Jesus. I thought about all that he entailed so that he could get to the resurrection. He trusted God to his dying breath, knowing that the resurrection is coming, knowing full well that we all have a date with eternity. We will all die from this life. unless the Lord returns first? Will it matter in eternity? It's not going to matter what salad dressing you like. But it will matter whenever difficulties come into your life. Especially the difficulties that are suffered because you do what's right. Because you walk in love and kindness and patience. And you get treated like an evil person for doing it. To be alienated for it. But we have to start thinking eternally. What's going to happen for these other people? Is the light of God, the light of Christ, really going to shine as we entail all these difficulties, we entail one another, the hostilities that come? Because when you think about them in light of eternity, when you think about them in terms of seeing God is there, right, and to see everything we do, for some people that's the scariest thought. Because we haven't really examined ourselves very well to make a difference and a change. For some people, that's the greatest comfort. Because you know He holds your hand. No matter what the difficulty is. And we learn from Jesus how to act in the moment. Not thinking about just the mere moment. Look down at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Why do you not lose heart? I know about the eternal promises of God. When you stop and think, genuinely, the only eternal thing we have ever seen is the Word of God. Nothing else that we know is eternal. We know we have a soul, but we've never seen one. We know we have a spirit, but all we see is the respirations that come in and out. The only eternal thing we've ever seen is the Word of God. And even Jesus said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words will never pass away. All these things are temporary. And here's a God who's trying to get a people who live in a temporary place, and that's the exposure that they have every day, to grasp eternity. And to understand that the only eternal thing that you have ever read or seen is what God has shared in His Word. Because who could tell you about eternal things except for an eternal God? Who else would have the vantage point to be able to tell you how things are? When we're young people, how great is it to listen to the wisdom of the faithful? To tell you about the things that are coming. If you notice it here, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, because we're going to think eternally. Not just about, I've been beaten with rods, I've been scourged, I've been persecuted, I've been abandoned, I've been left naked, I've been without food, I've been hungry. He says, I don't think about those things. I think about the eternal. He gets on to that in chapter 11 of this same book. Notice, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Anybody need any reassurance that our outer man is decaying? I don't think you get very old before you start to realize it, do you? I don't see the way I used to see. I don't look the way I used to look. And it doesn't really matter. The things you used to could do, now you fear doing. You would ask for help to do those things. Perhaps the younger we are, the more aloof this thought is. But to go, what does it really matter? If you start thinking eternally, I can't help people the way I used to could help them. I don't have the physical strength to do that. Great, you used the strength you had for what you could do at the time. You were faithful with the opportunities that you had. Here's what's unique. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. Verse 16 is not true for everybody. See if you doubt me on this. Notice it again. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, he makes that as, I understand that thought, don't leave me there. He says, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Does that happen with everybody? Are there people who you have seen grow worse with the passing years? They were a little bitter when they were younger, but they're a whole lot more bitter now. Not everyone is renewed day by day in their inner man. So who is? Because I've had my sins washed away, been baptized into Christ, received the gift of the Spirit, does that mean that I'm guaranteed to be renewed every day for the rest of my life? No, it does not. We've seen saints leave faithfulness behind. Are they being renewed day by day in the inner man? They're not, are they? So what's Paul talking about? If you will have an eternal and spiritual mindset, you'll be renewed every day. If you'll consider the dying and the sufferings of Jesus, of what he endured, knowing that he was looking ahead to the resurrection, that we can have that same mindset, you'll find renewal every day. All of a sudden, how many people have said it? Just a colloquial little phrase. I wish I knew then what I know now. How many parents have said that? How many people who have buried their mate have said that? How many people who have lost their jobs have said that? See, those are trying times. But unless we're really thinking eternally and spiritually, there's no renewal that goes on. There's no growth. There's no moving forward. All of a sudden, you see really the idea of saying, have you ever grown spiritually to the point where you look back and you go, you know what? I couldn't have handled this 5 years ago. I couldn't have handled this situation 10 years ago. What are you proving? What's happened? We're being renewed day by day. And it comes in daily decisions. It doesn't come in just the big events, the big milestones. You'll be faithful with little things, you'll be faithful with much. The wisest of men made that statement. Jesus. Verse 17. He says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Digest that. What you do in your daily lives has an eternal weight. Whether good or bad, it has an eternal weight. He says, in our light affliction, later on, or actually before this, in Romans chapter 8, Paul even specifically says, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. If you think the times now are tough, it's because we haven't set our minds to think eternally. These things are very small compared to the weight of eternity. You stop and look at these things together and to go, does a first grader understand everything about what's going to happen throughout his education career? Of course not. How can we understand eternity unless our ears are attentive to the voice of God? If you look through the book of Hebrews, you get to plenty of things that are eternal. You get to eternal things like salvation, eternal things like redemption, eternal things like inheritance, eternal things like covenant. He says, there's eternal. Are we thinking there in what we do day to day? If I have these sharp remarks for people I don't care for, do you realize they have an eternal weight? Or do we want patience? They also have an eternal weight. He says, but yet the things that are here are so light compared to the eternal. Do we see it that way? Verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where are your eyes? Where's your heart? Do you think about situations like what Paul brought up in chapter 4? Light shines out of the darkness. In the darkest situations that you will encounter in life, you have a choice. Are you going to walk further away from God in the darkness? Or are you going to turn to look at Jesus and His death and what He went through to be raised from the dead and go, I want to walk according to light because it has an eternal weight. And to go, in those moments, you have to decide, do I want to be renewed in the inner person? Because your decision through those things will mean either you walk deeper into the darkness away from God, or you're going to walk into the brightest light that is unimaginable to us. And to realize too, and now God gets to use you as you imitate Jesus to bring light in the midst of a dark world. Because you're going to think eternally, not just about the moment. We're a people who are taught to think in the moment. That's not spiritual thinking. Be aware in the moment. Think eternal. It will come together. Later on in chapter 5, Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Not going to get caught up in what I see, the temporary. I'm going to make sure and walk by faith, trusting the eternal God to lead me, continue walking in eternal life by the blood and the grace and the mercy of God.